Welcome to the Fire You Carry podcast. On today's episode, we have Derek Reisman. Derek works for Ventura County Fire, but he started his career in the fire service way out in Arkansas. So he's got a really interesting story there of how he ended up back in Ventura after spending some time as a fireman out there, way out east. He's also got a great perspective as a dad and just an all-around good dude. He also has his own podcast that you should go check out. His podcast is called Shift Change, and it will be linked in the show notes. Enjoy.
Derek Reisman, welcome to the show, buddy.
How's it going?
What's up, brother?
This is pretty cool. All right, so Reese and I met what year at Oxnard Fire Academy?
It was 09. Yeah. Same time I met my wife. So,
did you really? When you met her in the academy or around that time?
Right before. Yeah. Like, because we started in like August or September, and we just started dating.
So, and you're like, I'm going to become a fireman. I'm going to the academy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, gave her one of the uniform shirts, and, she was all excited.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, I immediately like you. You had like a sense of humor. Nobody knew what we were getting into. And I will say we went to Oxnard Regional Fire Academy up in Camarillo, California, which is put on by a lot of the Ventura County guys, Oxnard guys. I think there's some LA City guys. But it was legit, right? I mean, in my perspective, it was a legit academy.
Yeah, no, it was. I would say, you know, it's funny. I think you were mentioning it one time that, as far as maybe it was the shock factor of this was my first introduction, I didn't know what I was getting into, and to go through that was, you know, maybe it was like the maturity level and time in our life that it felt like every other academy I've gone through has been kind of a breeze. Not, I mean, you know, grueling and, you know, time consuming like any academy should be, but I mean, as far as like, you're always expecting, like I was always expecting the uniform inspection or the marching and the structure. And yes, it was there, but not to that extent.
Yeah. Like LA County's academy was nothing compared to like the jam ups that we had at Oxnard's. And I think it's because, no, we had a Seastrom. Was he a Marine?
Yeah.
So, and we were out there and they were with flashlights looking for Irish pendants. We had to crease the uniforms. The boots had to be completely dialed, or you were on your face doing push-ups for a majority of those hours. And so like, by the time I came to LA County, I was yelling at my wife. I'm like, we got to get this uniform's horrible. I got to get it cleaned up, my boots. And I showed up and I'm like, everybody else looked like bozos. And I'm like yelling at my academy mates to get them right. And I'm waiting for the hammer to drop, and it just never came.
Dude, that's like my story exactly, except mine was the experience from the military and expecting, and exactly the same thing. I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and it just never happened. I think there's a huge value in that. When you pay to go to your own academy like you guys did, I think it gives them a little bit more freedom because they're not attached to some government organization, and I think that's good. I think not everybody needs that coming on the job. I mean, you know, not to be prideful about it, but I didn't need it. You know, I'd been through that before, but a refresher is never bad. You know, it had been years. And if you're a new kid fresh out of high school, you need that. If you're going to learn actual real attention to detail and you haven't been taught that before, that's how you learn it. It's a quick, easy, well, it's not a quick, easy way, but it's the quickest way if you've never learned it before.
Dude, I will say straight up, I needed it because I was coming from mortgage lending. I was in a suit and tie, right? And I wanted to radically change careers and go into a firefighting, but I had to be humbled. You have to shave your head. And that was like the it was like the ceremonial death of a salesman. You know what I mean? Like if you're in mortgage land, you work at a bank in a suit and tie, you don't shave your head. I look ridiculous. I look like a skinhead, you know, like it looked ridiculous. So, but I love that because I love getting broken off. I love being part of the boys. I was just a number, you know what I mean? And I needed that to be like humbled to say, this is how it's supposed to be. You earn your way up the totem pole. And I loved it. And like from there, I remember coming home going, it's hard, but I can't wait to do it. You know, like I was telling my wife, I think the most disappointing time in this whole process, I don't know how you feel about this, Reese, is when we graduate and we had all these family members and all these people and we did this cool thing. We're rappelling out of buildings. We're putting out a car fire. We're doing all this stuff. And then Monday morning, back to your job.
Back to regular life.
Back to the produce department for me. I was working at Vons.
Grandma's
back
asking
then, so.
You, oh, are you a fireman now? Where do you work now?
And no. Then nobody knows what that means. Like they knew you were in the fire academy, and then they're like, "How come you're still working produce, D? Like, what's up, D?"
I thought you were leaving. Not yet. Now I got to start testing and have the door slammed
could
in my face.
Could still be years.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, tell us what made you get into that academy, or what made you become or want to become a fireman?
Well, for me, so I had been working at Vons for about 4 years, and I thought that was kind of what I wanted to do. It was almost like a, hey, I found this great job that I could work my way up and have a career. And I just was never – I loved that job. Don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful I had it and everything. But I got to a point where I realized, no, this isn't what I want to do. There was an image in my head that I always had. So my grandpa passed. He was a BC for LA City. And he passed when I was 16. And I remembered seeing two captains in uniform at his service. He didn't have a fire service funeral by any means. And to see them there 17 years after he had retired was something that always stuck out in my mind, was something that was, wow, I'd like to be part of something like that one day. And it was just always something that was in the back of my mind and something I was always interested in. And so I just decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for this. I was living up in San Luis or in Atascadero with my parents, and where I was out with my friends, it was like, you know, partying every night, just lots of distraction, your whole comfort zone in your hometown right there. Everything that every comfort you have that you could run away to was there. And so I felt I should probably go somewhere else and kind of put more on the line, I guess you could say, to force myself to be more dedicated to what I was going after. Started EMT school in the intro classes, and then shortly after that academy. And that's what took me to Oxnard College, as far as looking that up. You know, my roommate and I at the time, you remember Reyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so him and I were roommates. I moved down there with him. We worked at San Luis Vons together. That's how we met. He wanted to pursue it too, and we had the opportunity to move down there together and go for it.
No way. So, how old were you at the time?
I just turned 22.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool thing. You know, I don't know how many kids that are floundering in college like right now, paying thousands of dollars, and then you know, like there's a lot of commuters because it's so expensive. They go to the local colleges or the local community colleges, and all the people are doing the same thing. But you jumped in head first. You went all the way down in a different town, got a roommate, got a job. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that shows commitment right there. Like to say you want this thing, you got to go somewhere and do it.
Yeah. And I was thankful. Like I was, you know, working for Vons, obviously it's all over the state. Right. So I was able to keep my job and just transfer to a different area. And then, I mean, you remember what it was like after we got out. Cause I remember you were in backgrounds with LA County for a long time.
Yeah. Three years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
everyone's like, oh, Welsh, you're going to do so great, dude. You're already in backgrounds. And I'm like, yeah, good luck. You know, like I've been here forever.
Yeah. I remember them talking about it. You know, you kind of look around your classroom like, yeah, that guy's going to get hired that way. Yeah, for sure. He's dialed or who, you know, whatever. And I think most of our class has been hired at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We have a good amount.
Yeah, there's something cool about, like Noel's talked about it before, it's like the camaraderie sense. I don't think it's anywhere close to what he's described in the military, but it is cool how quickly you become close to those guys in that academy. And to this day, we saw Deshaun Short just got promoted to captain. And he was in, and then I still talk to Mitch Mormooney, you know what I mean? And Mitch Mormooney is a teacher in Oxnard. And I just see utter joy in his life. And even though he didn't become a fireman, you can see like he is exactly where he's supposed to be. And we just have a connection and a bond because I saw him put in work every single day. And I just think he's a savage. I love that guy.
Yeah. I was just talking about, so I just finished up a PIO class. It's something I know, right? I actually really enjoyed it, especially today. It was like the culmination of everything where you actually go and apply all your skills. They gave us good real life scenarios of what you're going to encounter if you get sent out on, like, say, as a trainee on a Cal Fire team. I held off on doing that class for a while. Just wasn't, you know, it's not, when I think of being a fireman, that's not what I think of doing, right? Is the public information aspect of it. But I'm glad I took the class, and the captain who taught it, he's actually a truck captain at my station. And seeing people in their element like that, when they're passionate about something, a student of whatever craft that is always, I don't care if it's fishing, PIO work, you know, truck ops, engine ops, whatever it is, seeing someone that's passionate about something is always a treat, regardless of what it is. And just to see someone, just, you see the work they put into it, how much dedication they put into teaching this class because it's something they're passionate about, was really cool for me. You know, just a reminder of, hey, being passionate about anything's a great thing, especially when you're just doing something to better whatever you're doing.
And you're going to learn so much better in an environment like that too. Even if it's something that you're not super interested in, seeing somebody else's passion for it, they're going to be a better teacher and you're going to be a better student because you can see that, you feel that, it's infectious. And you may find yourself being interested in something that you thought you weren't just based on the enjoyment they get out of it. It's really important to have a good instructor and stuff like that. We have seen it down at the tower when we used to teach AutoX here for our department. And all the guys we had down there, when Kevin and I were doing it, I guess Kevin's still doing it, but we're good, solid dudes, and it's infectious. And you learn teaching points from those guys. You get better at what you're doing based on watching them teach. And
yeah, that's so true, right? But even like our dear friend Joe Barrios, I mean, I'm not big on offshore fishing, you know what I mean? But he'll talk about it, and you can see him light up like a Christmas tree. It's almost impossible to not like it as well once you start talking to him, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's good. I mean, find something you're passionate about and just get into it. I love that.
My buddy and I run the Explorer program for Ventura County, and we tell them the same thing. They're into, you have this culmination of kids from all over the county coming in to be a part of this program. And you'll see them when they start getting maybe to the point where they're taking some tests for the Forest Service or for hand crews, and they're looking at what they're bringing to the table, and they're focusing just on the Explorers, right? It's like, well, let's talk about what else did you do? Playing sports, being in the marching band, whatever it is you grew up being passionate about, you're going to have stories from that because you were passionate about it, and you're going to have gains in experience, whether it's life experience or experience you can apply towards this. You know, I tell them all the time, I talked about not just working for other departments or that what I've done to pursue my fire career, but I talked a lot about Vons when it came to public relations and customer service. You know, so it's just one of those things where you can be passionate about something you've experienced in your life, and you don't have just a resume that just says Explorer program on it. You know,
have you seen that commercial of, I forget, it's like an insurance commercial where you're becoming your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's in the grocery store, he's pushing around the cart, and he goes, oh, good, the manager. You know, Derek over in produce, very helpful.
Right. You know, on that note, too, I want to thank you guys for this because it was one of your episodes early on, whatever you were talking about. You were talking about integrity when no one's watching, and your example is putting the cart back in the corral. I think about you guys every time I go to the grocery store, you know, in that moment where I have to, you know, my truck's pretty big, so I have to park far out, and I'm thinking about, oh man, I just put my kid in the car. Am I really going to walk this cart all the way? Yep, I am. They're going to know.
That's great. But now there's a double-edged sword because like a guy that's done it, you'd be like, hey, it's that kid's turn in the tank. You know what I mean? He can put it away. So, well, you know, like if you've done it, like then you'd be like, nah, I don't have to do that anymore. It's that kid's turn, but.
Well, and to be honest, I had that in me anyway, because I remember what it was like chasing carts and getting the ones that were all remote and trying to catch the ones before they hit cars. So
put the shopping cart away.
That's yeah. Fair. Thank you guys.
So you graduate Oxnard, and how long did it take you? Now, I love this story because you went out of state, which is abnormal, I think, for a lot of the guys past, right?
Yeah, I think at the time, I mean, you remember what it was like back in 9, 10, 11. You sitting down for a test with thousands of people. Okay, we have two openings, and it was hard, you know, and then getting that far, making it, you know, getting past the written exam. No, I'm going to the oral exam. okay, well, you passed, but not high enough. You're not moving on to Chiefs. Then you make it to the Chiefs. So I'm getting it this time. Sorry, not high enough. You know, you're not moving on to backgrounds. And it was just like getting, you know, inching your way to each step. So Shelby, my wife, had gone to school in Arkansas prior. She went out there on a softball scholarship. And going out to visit her, I really liked it. It was just, you know, kind of an old school feel, you know, small town feel. I really liked it. Well, she ended up, when she finished up out there and moved back, same thing, just testing. I mean, I couldn't even get a written exam for our hand crew because I didn't have enough experience. You know, at that time they were looking for Forest Service guys and people with more experience that I just didn't have. And she said, well, have you thought about Arkansas? I'm like, well, I mean, that's a potential life-changing event right there where we might not be able to come back. So, I mean, if you're down, I'm down. We knew we wanted to be somewhere closer to the university, so I tested for I threw in an application for Fayetteville Fire. Called up. I didn't even know if I would qualify for their written exam because they use the IFSAC certification process, which, lo and behold, now California and IFSAC are all meshing together now. But I put in an application. I qualified because I had a driver's license. So solid. They held their test. I remember this. This is something that's actually, it's very near and dear to me because it was the week before Thanksgiving. You can imagine pretty busy week in the grocery store. My store manager let me have the time off to go out there and take the test. And it was at the time they did the written exam on a Saturday. If you pass the written exam, they graded it. It was a CPS exam, which I was super familiar with. So that was like, cool, I'm going to pass that. Written exam, graded it on the spot. If you passed it, you got a physical agility and they gave you a time to go to station one to go do the physical agility. Once you passed the physical agility, they gave you two interview times for Monday, a department interview and a civil service interview. And they had a list established that evening. So
that's some efficiency. I love it. That is not the case in Los Angeles.
Right? Yeah. So
that's amazing.
There was only like 88 people that showed up for the test too. So another dynamic difference right there. I mean, I'm thinking for even smaller departments, that's like one round if, you know, at the smallest right there.
That is radical.
And it was awesome, man. I flew out like on that Thursday. Did a station visit at station one, met my shift that I eventually got hired on with, which was awesome. I ended up spending about 3 hours at the station with them, just talking and getting to know them a little bit. Went through the process. Tuesday morning, I flew back out the day after my interview. They said, you can call HR and find out how you did. I made number two on the list. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a job. This is amazing. Get home. They hired number three and four. Out there with the IFSAC, you're actually certified as a fireman out there, right? You're actually like, you have your firefighter one and two and you're certified. You can just go and go through whatever orientation and hit the floor. So they wanted people that could start right away. So I was like, well, that ship sailed. They already skipped over me on the list. 8 months later, I got a call and it happened fast, man. Like they gave me the job offer and 3 weeks later I was in Arkansas.
Crazy. Now, was Shelby already living there?
No. So she was, what's funny is we had been long distance. When we first met, she was playing softball in Oklahoma. Didn't like it out there. Did a semester, came back for about a semester. Then she went to Arkansas for a year. So long distance round two, moves back. Now we're like, cool. Like you're back now. Now I moved to Arkansas, long distance number three.
Wow.
Yeah. And then halfway through my probation was when I came back to visit and asked her to marry me. And then we got married that September and then moved her out there with me. So I completed probation and then moved her out there with me.
That's awesome. What a soldier she is. I mean, long distance relationships. How do you make that work? So I've never been in a long distance relationship. So how did you make that work? Because obviously you're busy. You're starting a new career. You're across the country. How do you make this work?
Well, that's exactly that kind of helped, right? So we were both just busy. So it gave us that ability to focus on what we were doing. And then, you know, at nighttime, phone, Skype, whatever we could do to just pass the time. And then visit as often as we could, you know, got really good at learning American Airlines credit cards and stuff and racking up miles and everything. I had so many miles racked up that when I tested for Ventura County, I didn't have to pay for a single flight the second time.
That's awesome. So can tell us a little bit about Fayetteville. I mean, Arkansas has got to be different from what Ventura County or what LA County looks like. So I mean, I can assume my in my travels across the country, I mean, there's just great people, you know, being it. But how did you learn or tactics, strategies, culture, different kind of thing?
Yeah. So, I mean, different culture, it's a whole different part of the country, right? So you're going to the South at that point. And, you know, I think about it and it's just, you know, one of my captains has told me before, same circus, different clowns, right? And you can kind of like flip that around too, to same clowns, different circus. Because, you know, I'd actually gotten on as a reserve with Santa Paula prior to that. Did that for about a year and a half and then went to Arkansas. And so, you know, going from Santa Paula to Fayetteville, it was like, oh, man, this guy's there, too. You know, and you're seeing all the same, you know, people in a different place. Right. Made Arkansas my home for 3.5 years. And it was hard to leave. That was something, you know, like when I got out there, I'm like, this is it. I love this place. I'm never leaving. And then about 2 years in was when I was like, you know what? Maybe I should. If I'm ever going to do it, I got to do it now. Try to go home.
And did you have kids when you started testing for Ventura or no?
No. So Shelby and I got married. We didn't have our first kid until 2019 was when Cadence was born. And she's 3 now. So,
yes.
Yeah, so it was about 2.5 years in with Ventura County when we had our first.
So your thought was if I'm going to do this and I'm going to go back to be the West Coast fireman, this is the time now before we have kids and I'm young enough and I'm fit enough to try to start over.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know if a lot of people know that everybody asks you, why don't you just work in Murrieta where you live? Or why don't you just work in Seattle? Or why don't you start over? Like we don't talk to each other. I don't know your uncle who's a fireman in Tennessee. I just don't. We don't. You have to start over wherever you go.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you were in the Army? You know this guy? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I do. I do actually, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Best
yeah.
friends.
Have you ever had that when somebody asks you if you know him and you actually do know a guy? And that's like the most mind-blowing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been in the situation to have it, but I mean, I have. You get those, you know, small world scenarios that they kind of do blow your mind a little bit, definitely. But I mean, for you guys, like, I mean, there's no way you can know everybody in LA County, you know?
No.
I have guys that I graduated the tower with that I still haven't seen in 12 years since we graduated.
It is small, like in certain circles, like, you know, like we do know quite a bit of people, but, and I think the internet and the podcast and some of these things have changed a little bit of that, but it's true. Like you might know 1,000 out of 3,000, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pushing it. Yeah.
Yeah. We have around 450 members and it's small enough to where you can just about know who everyone is. You know, there's no way to even keep up with that many people, but, I do have the ability to work at every station just about, unless it's a medic station. So seeing people.
That's awesome. So when you're wrestling with leaving Arkansas, right? Mm-hmm. Because you kind of found a home there. I got to imagine you're married. You want to start to have a family. Ventura County is not cheap, right? And you're trying to wrestle with trying to go back in over to Ventura County. Were you worried about starting an academy again? Were you worried about like getting back and starting over, even though you're already established out in Arkansas?
Oh, 100%, man. Like you figure out you're in, you know, you've already gone through probation. You're on the floor. You're a made man at that point, you know, and just the thought of starting all over to throw everything like, you know, realistically, you think about it, I could have gone to work, never promoted, and retired after 28 years. And that was the comfort level you're leaving to start over. You know, it's not obviously not how we are, but to leave that thought of security to start all over is a scary thing. And in my mind, I was about to go through an Oxnard College level difficulty with that, you know, mind, mental and physical strain again. It was a scary, it was definitely a nerve wracking thought, you know, and just going, and it was funny, man, you go back to the, you remember what it was like just standing in the lines for the written exams and you get I always hated the guy that would walk up in a suit with his leather bound folder with his invitation to test in it, you know, like all just chest puffed out. Like I'm more dedicated than you, you know, I hated standing in line with those people again. It drove me nuts.
He always had like flawless shoes too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you would have to glance at his resume and he had like 16 master's degrees and all this stuff. I'm like, what's going on here?
Or you get the guy I'm in backgrounds with this place, and this place just offered me a conditional. I'm like, why are you standing in line here then? You know, like,
go away.
Yeah. I'm like, are you just trying to psych me out right now? What are you doing?
Yeah. We mentor some kids too that are coming on, and it is different from when, even in our short period, when it was the recession, when we got out of that academy, mm-hmm. and nobody was hiring anywhere. Right. So it was like, there was brownouts and LA City didn't hire for 6 years. Nobody was hiring. So, I mean, that was when, like, I can imagine if you got your spot, and even if it was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, you're like, this is my spot, you know? And I know a lot of guys that were places that they didn't think as most desirable, but exactly what you said, once they got there, they loved the guys, they loved the work, and they made it their home.
Yeah. And I did, man. It was great. I still talk to at least somebody to this day. So I've been in Ventura County for a little over 5 years now. And I have not gone a week. It's very rare that I go a week without talking to somebody from Arkansas. You know, it's just, there's still some of my best friends, my brothers, and it's crazy. A lot of them have retired. You can, out there, they do a double service credit. So if you, like, say, get on a roster at a volunteer department, it's year for year. So theoretically you could retire after 14 years. Obviously you won't be much of a retirement to collect, but if you have something else in line and you're just ready to hang it up, and you know, this day and age with the mental stresses we have and everything, it's not uncommon to see people leave sooner than you'd think, you know. But a lot of my good friends have actually retired, and I'm super happy for them. They got to retire young and move on and just do something that they can be with their family more.
That's fascinating. I've never heard of a program like that, but just hearing you talk about that right now, I almost wonder if that's going to be part of the future of the fire service. As call volumes increase and the trauma that guys take on increases, maybe in the future they make it something where you retire in a shorter period of time so you don't do it as long, and it becomes kind of more of a young man's game. I mean, I don't know how they would make that work, but it makes a ton of sense, because we all know that it's really the last 10 to 5 years of your career that have the biggest impact on your future health and the amount of time you're going to live into retirement. So maybe they shorten that in the future somehow. I actually think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, no doubt.
We saw statistics in our fire department that said if you retired at 55, your average death expectancy was 13 years. And if you retired at 60, just 5 years later, it was 3 years. 3 years. So it's obviously like sleep deprivation, carcinogen exposures, and that compiles over a lifetime. I think Noel's right. I mean, I think it's a young man's job. If call volume continues to go up, and that's what happens, and it's been exploding year over year, then it doesn't seem like guys are going to work till 60 years old. No way.
The problem with that is, though, as I sit here and talk about it and think it through, is then you lose all of that experience that we currently have and can pull from now, because I'm brand new. You know, I'm still new at this job. I'm still learning every day, and I learn a lot from those guys with 30 years of experience. So you would lose that. That would be a dramatic loss and noticeable. I don't know. It's interesting, though. Interesting to think about.
That's why you got to love those guys that are passionate about what they're doing. You know, you never make fun of the guy that's geeking out on something, right? You never make fun of the guy that's just a total, like, all-in USAR, has all his own equipment because he's that much of a nerd about it, or the hazmat. You know, you need those guys to carry the torch once the ones who taught them have retired. You know, you think about those you know, when you're coming up through your academy or you're taking classes, and the people that you're like, how do you know all this stuff? You know, like, I'm a technician after a 1 week class. I'm not even going to be close. And then, you know, you learn that, you know, you realize you're not going to learn everything in 1 week. Right.
Yeah. Experience counts, right? I mean, like, you get those guys that are 30 years on, or a 30 year fireman. You're like, that guy knows so much and has seen so much. Like, he can't even write a book and include it. You know, he's just seen enough.
Yeah. I'm super fortunate.
I do still make fun of those guys.
Yeah, we have
to. Yeah.
I appreciate it, but I still make fun of them.
Yeah, well, you have to make fun of what people are passionate about, you know?
You have to. They're the guys with the truck with 16 stickers and the fireplace and license plate and, you know, like, all the things. And just like, oh, here. You can hear them coming in with their giant diesel. Like, you're like, oh, here he comes.
Guilty.
But if they weren't here, I wouldn't know anything. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's
true. Facts. We thank you guys.
And you love something, I'm going to destroy it.
We'll help wash your truck once in a while. I wonder, though. No, that's it. Like, you see guys in the military, they put in, what's the average military career? 8 years?
Oh, yeah. Most people do 4. Some people do 8. Usually, once you get around that number, they stay in. But I will say this. In the special operations communities, unless you move all the way up to, like, the tier one units, guys don't do that for a career. Like, when I was in Ranger Battalion, there's not a lot of career guys there. And the reason there's not is the pace and the deployment schedule and everything. It's not sustainable. You can't stay in there. So you go out to the regular Army. That's what most people do. And it's, you know, it's for the same reasons. So maybe we can build a department for all the guys that are getting old and tired, and they can go work, you know, over in Orange County somewhere where it's nice and slow. Sorry, Orange County guys. I mean, you know, it's true. But besides, maybe we could, well, yeah. I mean, there's that one spot, but
it's the Space Force of the fire department.
Exactly.
Like right. And then like maybe like, we transition somehow to be those guys with the trucks teaching USAR to other guys that are coming in. Right.
That's how we do it.
Right. Yeah. That's the way. Derek Reisman is going to start this up as a PIO. He's going to start this thing for us.
Did
they ask you to get involved in PIO because you have a podcast? Like, oh, you know about media. You can talk.
I think it had part of it. So I actually had it was more so when we took over the Explorer program, we started doing things. Actually, I take that back. When I went through my academy, they were trying this virtual learning thing where part of your post-academy evaluations, you had to make videos. And so you had to make instructional videos on X topic or whatever. And so I had made this one. We had just got these new Zoll heart monitors. And so I was like, well, I need to get familiar with this thing. I might as well make a video on it. So I made this like 9-minute and 30-second video. It was like, knowing what I know now about instructional videos, that's pretty long. And so I make this video and it has like Elton John in the background and like I put a lot of time into it. Well, that all of a sudden gets, hey, we have this content creation cadre. We're going to recruit you into it. So, okay. I like the guys in it and I'm still doing that to this day. But, I think it was my narration voice that helped with that. But, the PIO, our civilian PIO, asked me 2 years in a row to do the class, and it just wasn't in the cards for me then. And then that captain I was telling you about talked me into it this year. I'm glad I did it. It was, I mean, just, it's going to help me more with the podcast. It's going to give me that another avenue to be able to pursue opening CICCS task books for, you know, through wildfire, getting exposed to brush fires more, because that's something I didn't get in Arkansas. And just continue, you know, just another element of my career to be able to go down. And I can see myself liking it.
Explain to our listeners who don't know what PIO means, because we're talking about it, but there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that term.
Yeah, so PIO just stands for Public Information Officer. And when you talk about like the different tracks and opening task books, basically you take your, I just took the introduction to incident information class. What I do now is I open a task book, and that task book is going to have several tasks that I have to have signed off by someone who is holding that rank of PIO. Right now I'm a PIOF trainee, if you will. So now I have to get my trainee tasks signed off so that way I can be an official PIOF. And then you move up those ranks to PIO2, PIO1, and it's your level of experience and certification that you gain. I just took the introduction class and now I'm going to be on that pathway to open up. But nice. Basically what a PIO does, especially on like a large brush fire, is just providing information to the public. That's all it is. You might be conducting a press conference. You might be out in front of a grocery store with a sandwich board with up-to-date information on a daily basis of what's going on with the fire, and just reaching out and being kind of becoming a part of whatever community you're in during that incident.
Yeah, they're so the guys on Channel 5.
So you might end up on the
5.
News someday.
Yeah, no, they're going to be on the news. Yes, they're the ones that are like, yep, yes. You're up. Yes. I
can't wait.
Yeah. I'll DoorDash you some ice cream.
Hopefully you can still have the Metallica shirt under the uniform. I mean, that would be so that at some point you can just, and like you can like flash it a little bit.
You know, I used to do that when I would do oral exams. It was something to kind of ease my mind. I would wear, I actually have... I was going to say, is it in this room? I have a shirt. So I drew a picture of my buddy, Justin Clark out in Arkansas. And it was a white shirt, so I could kind of get away with it. Anyway, I drew a picture of him, and I had it made into a T-shirt. And I wore that T-shirt in my oral exam and my chief's interview when I got hired at Ventura County to just kind of like, all right, yeah, Justin's sitting here with me. Now I'm just having a conversation with these guys. Trying to knock the nerves off a little bit.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's awesome. We need a picture of that T-shirt.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything more uncomfortable than sitting in the waiting room of your oral interview. You know you're going to shake hands and they're all sweaty and you don't know what you're going to say. It's a disaster for young men. That is a disaster.
You know what I used to do in line for interviews? I'd walk out and I know I'm competing against this person next to me, but I would walk out and say, hey, man, good luck. You're going to do great today. And you would see this like wave of calm come over people. Thanks, man. I appreciate, you know, I don't know why I just like doing that, but it was just, I'm like, I'm competing against this guy. What am I doing? You know, but I just always found it entertaining.
Dude. That's being a good dude.
It was entertaining for me. Same thing with the CPAT. You see the person that's pacing in the, you know, like, oh man, you know, so, hey man, you're going to crush this today.
You're not going to pass out on the stair machine with a weight vest on. You're going to do great.
Yeah. You're going to do just fine.
I did have a female though. You know, there's a portion of the CPAT is a physical agility test that it's kind of a very lame, common thing that people have to use. But she was swinging the sledgehammer against that thing that you're supposed to hit. And it went whoop. And everyone's like, look out. And the 8-pound sledgehammer was flying across and it hit some dude in the ankle and it was a disaster.
The kid that went before me did pass out on the stair machine.
No, really?
Yeah. I watched him. He was almost done and he got all wobbly and went down hard.
For you. Yeah.
Oh man, what am I getting myself involved in? That kid just died.
You ever see the real fit looking people go down? That's what always scared me. I'm like, that person's way more fit than me. Are you kidding me? They just went down. I know I've taken this 5 times and never failed it, but still, you know, it just gets in your head.
Smoke and mirrors, dude. Smoke and mirrors. They're probably vegans. They're vegans. That's the problem.
It's probably
vegans.
There's this like jacked NFL football player that we had one of those pre-academy foot and fitness things and he ran a hose layout and it was just a dry hose, but you're supposed to sprint it out. And somehow he tripped and fell and smashed his face and he was all bloody. And I'm like, oh, we're all going to die. If this guy can't pull hose, we're dead. You know, and how hard is that? You know, but it's really not hard at all. But he just stressed himself out.
Absolutely.
Dude, Arkansas is coming up. Do you guys watch the MMA at all? There's this kid, Bryce Mitchell. They call him Thug Nasty out of Arkansas.
No.
Thug Nasty?
Well, I mean, I haven't heard of him, though.
It's a good name.
All right, great. Go look up Thug Nasty. This kid's Bryce Mitchell. He just reps Arkansas all the time. He's from Arkansas.
I love it.
Came from nothing, and he is, like, killing it in the UFC right now. He's very, like, outspoken. He's pretty fired up, but I like watching this kid. Because he's like, they're like, are you going to move from Arkansas? It's like, no, this is my home. I love Arkansas. Arkansas, stand up. It's pretty fun.
Some great stuff comes out of Arkansas.
Does he look like he's from Arkansas? Does he have a mullet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just Google. I mean, everyone right now on the podcast, Google Bryce Mitchell, Thug Nasty.
He must be from Hall Guy.
I mean, Derek will know better, but he looks like he's, you know, I don't want to mess with this guy.
It's probably from Camden or Hawkeye.
There's a funny interview with him, and he says recently, I think he was on Rogan or something like that, but he was talking about, they're like, do you tell people, because, you know, he's one of the best fighters in the world. They're like, do you tell people if they're mouthing off to you, like you're like in the UFC? He's like, nope, it's about to be the worst day of their life. And he's like, I'm not telling anybody anything. They're going to learn. They're going to learn today.
I miss it. I need to go back and visit those guys. I haven't been back since I left and it kills me. I need to go back and see them.
So you got to tell us about your daughter.
Yeah. Cadence.
How did that change you as a man? Cause you know, you've had a good young career going all over the place. And did that ground you into that change you? I know how it's changed me, but how was that having a girl?
Oh, 100%, man. I was scared to death of having a girl, and it's been, you know, the greatest thing ever in my life. And she is an absolute just savage ball of energy. You know, I knew getting home from class today, I got home about 3 this afternoon. I'm like, I'm going to unlock this door right now, and she's going to have a blue face from getting into frozen blueberries or a popsicle or something, and she's going to be naked. I know it. It's just going to happen. And sure enough, I go to unlock my front door and the door flies open and there she is, completely naked, popsicle all over her face, you know, and just running amok. You know, just my wife chasing her around all day long. She is a full-time job. 100%.
That's what 3-year-olds do though, right?
Yeah. It is the most satisfying thing when she just wants to do stuff with you. You know, I love it. Whether it's like she wants to, today we went for a cruise and I got a couple of pit bikes and she wants to go for a ride on it. And so she knows how to sit on it and hold on to the handlebars and just go for a cruise around the neighborhood and wave at people. And then we get back and she doesn't want to ride the other one now. So then I have to go fit on a 50 somehow and ride that around with her on it. And it's just, it's the best, man. It's every day I, you know, she wakes up so excited to wake up and see you. And you can't help but feel the same way. You know, she might wake you up way earlier than you want her to. And it's within 5 minutes, you're like, oh, no, I'm really glad you woke me up because I love having breakfast with her. I love taking her to the park. And, you know, I actually remember you, Kevin, talking about it. You get to a point where you know, I think about like walking my dogs. And I would be walking my dogs and I'd be like, come on, let's go. And they want to stop and sniff everything and you know, pee on everything and poop everywhere and do everything. And a kid's almost kind of the same way where you're like, hey, we're going for a hike or we're going for a walk on this trail. It's like, come on, we got to go. It's like, we've only made it 20 feet and we've been here for 15 minutes already because she wants to check out all the rocks and she wants to pick the flowers and she wants to see how things look and smell and climb on everything. And those, you know, just learning how to take that step back and embrace that is one of those just most, it's one of the most rewarding feelings ever of just like, you can't ever get time back, you know? And it's whatever assets you have in this world, it's the one that's, you can never get back. And she's given me that, you know, that's something, you know, you think of our life prior to being at this moment, it's always constantly running and gunning, trying to get to the next step, got to get hired. Okay. Got to get off probation. Got to jump on cadres, got to get involved, got to do all this stuff. And now I'm like, wow, I can't wait to get home and just be with her, you know, and do something with her. And by far the most rewarding. Every single parental stereotype is 100% true. Every single one. Yeah. And I can't wait. Number 2 is closing in, man. July 15th. So wow. we're having a boy. So
wow.
Thank awesome. You.
Wow, yeah. That is crazy. How's your wife feeling?
She's great, man. She actually, the first trimester was, you know, always the first trimester is always the rough one. And after that, it's just like, usually she just kind of gets tired like clockwork around the same time every night. And that's usually just been the, you know, just kind of the theme so far. It's just kind of fighting the tiredness, especially when I'm gone. So you guys know how the mandates are right now and everything and yes, constantly being at work.
Well, I love it, man. Number 2 is a game changer, but in a good way. And that, like, I kind of solidified our family for us. So God bless you guys. I can't wait to see what baby Reisman looks like, what he's going to be. So I want to ask you this, because you're kind of a music guy. I know you go to shows. I know you're into punk rock and roll. And is that something that is still important to you, even as a dad? I know, is that something that you still strive to go be a part of? Because I know it's big for Noel and I kind of stay in the music world and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Too. Yeah, I'm fighting hard to start a band right now, actually. I've got all the members, but the drummer's being a flake. My buddy Ryan
always the drummer. You know,
come on, like, Ryan.
Drummers are the hardest thing to find. Drummers and a decent bass player. Everyone and their brother plays guitar, you know?
What are you doing?
I'm going to do rhythm and lead vocals is my goal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what kind of genre, are we doing covers? Or are you doing your own stuff? Or what are you
we'll start with
going?
Covers just to get our chops up. And then I'm sure, you know, as you know how it goes, like just get your chops back and everything.
Yeah.
We actually, so with Cadence, she loves when I play guitar. Dude, my stuff was in a closet for like probably 10 years. You know, I hadn't changed this. There was rust inside my guitar case from the strings being on there too long. Yeah. So I just recently kind of cleaned out the closet, got rid of all my practice amps, gave a couple of them away, and my buddy sold me a Crate half stack for a smoking deal. Nice. I got for like a few hundred dollars, you know? And so it kind of like relights the fire, you know, restring the guitars, start playing again. And Cadence will grab a little drum practice pad I have, and she'll grab sticks. And if I'm playing guitar, she gets the drum pad and she'll start. I'll send you a video of it.
Yes.
It's rad. It's so much fun. But she loves music and she likes my music, which is even more fun. You know, we'll throw on like Dropkick Murphys or something and she'll hear the beginning of a song and get excited about it. You know, and she'll just, since she would, could first walk, she would kind of waddle back and forth and dance and, you know, just to, she likes the music me and Shelby listen to, and it just makes it even that much more fun.
That's awesome. That's kind of the dream for me, is if I can get one of my girls to play bass and one of the girls to play guitar, and then I can play drums and we can have a thing. I don't know if it's happening though. Yeah. They don't want nothing to do with the guitar or bass, dude. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I feel like all kids want to play drums. You know, it's just that it's something about just like beating the drums, man. It's just fun.
Noel Lilly has a drummer in his house and he's about 7 years old.
Yeah.
I just don't know it yet.
That's oh, awesome. We know it. He's got a drum machine. He's got a colonial era drum. He's got all the drums. And when he doesn't have his drum in front of him, he's drumming on something else.
It just takes a total jerk uncle like me to just send a drum set to the house one day.
Yeah.
And then all chaos ensues. And it'll sound horrible for 5 years. And it'll drive you guys nuts. And then one day, you know, he'll be ripping.
Yeah.
He's definitely drumming. Got the attitude.
Yeah, just when you wanted to bring up new musicians, drummers are the hardest thing to find. It is the hardest thing to find.
So we got to tell you, we had talked maybe a year ago. We reconnected because of our podcast, which I thought was so rad. And, you know, we've kept in touch with a lot of guys from our academy on Facebook and that kind of thing. But then I just thought it was rad because we just started reconnecting again. And then fairly recently, you guys launched your own show, right? So you got to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, dude, I've been wanting to do it. Like I fell in love with podcasts years back and I was like, man, it would be fun to have one day. And I just never, what am I going to talk about? I have no idea, you know, an obvious kind of backfall is the fire service. And just, you know, for me, it's just the banter that I love. So I was elected to be one of our vice presidents of our union and trying to kind of create bridges and close gaps with, you know, communicating the membership. I'm like, what kind of creative ways could we do this? And that's kind of where it sprung from, was that. And then it's just kind of developed into, well, nobody wants to hear about union stuff all day, you know? So like, this is something we can absolutely morph into just creating. And I just wanted entertainment, engagement, and interaction with the members. So a lot of it, you know, will be kind of geared towards Ventura County stuff. But at the same time, it's like, we'll platform anyone that wants to come on just about. And I think just kind of doing like what we're doing, man, just having the raw conversation, and what stems out of that is just always going to be something good. You know, it like just talking about things people are passionate about, learning more about them, it becomes entertaining and fun, you know? And so just trying to find that balance of, okay, what's the good length? What's going to keep people's attention? But it's been a blast to do. We've had, guys on from like Oxnard City and Ventura City and just get the three department banter going. And that's been a lot of fun right there.
And that is fun.
Been slack and haven't done an episode for a while. We need to get back in the studio.
You've got some amazing intro music.
Which one? The reggae one or the?
No, the one I heard.
Like a rock one.
That was probably, music. Yeah, that was probably when we were starting out. It was probably like a Sammy Hagar song or something. But
I only just became aware of you today. Kevin just shared with me your episode, one of your episodes today. It was with the gal from 911.
At Ease.
At Ease, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've got a rad intro. You've got a rad studio. The production value is awesome. And I immediately
saying.
Oh, this guy's a podcaster. Listen to his voice.
Oh, I took over.
And that was just the first couple minutes. And then it was good content. It was awesome.
Yeah, I invaded the union office. We had this storage room where all the, you know, because we buy all our uniform t-shirts from the union office. So I kind of invaded and cleared it all out and relocated it.
This is my studio now.
Yeah. Me and the office manager, I'm like, hey, I'll be in my office if you guys need anything. And it's not your office. You're just borrowing it.
Did you see all the posters on the wall? It's my office.
This is my office.
I've got a purple rain poster. It belongs to me.
Somehow I don't think that would go the same with our union office, but we're not involved in the union, so that's all right.
Yeah.
They got plenty of space down there. Maybe we should look into that.
Yeah, you guys are like one of the biggest in the nation. You have to have space
Jelati,
down there.
Jelati, get us an office down there so we can have a podcast studio.
And we need the egg crates and then, you know, a practice studio for the band. You know, Reese wants to come down. You know, we can jam.
Jelati doesn't like me very much right now.
There's always that tension, right? It's always that. And it's hard, man. I can tell you from being a VP and like, obviously I'm not in LA County. But like my own experience, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you feel like you're wanting to step up and represent the members. And it feels like there's a disconnect because I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. It's like the effort you want to put in to represent the members and it doesn't always come out looking that way. And it's hard. And sometimes you feel like, man, I just feel like I'm not representing them and letting them know that the way I should be.
And it's an impossible job. I mean, especially when you have a large department, you have to represent everybody, right? But you can't because everybody's so different. We have so many different people on the job who believe so many different things and want so many different things. You can't represent everybody. I mean, you technically are representing everybody, but you know, you can't make everybody happy and you're going to die on that hill if you try. So it's a thankless job. I mean, obviously I don't know how it is up there, but I know our union works really hard for us and have done a ton of stuff just in the short time that I've been here. But there's always those guys that are detractors of the union and just anti-union all the time. At least there are down here. And I mean, I can just say from my personal experience, it's not a job that I would want. Those guys work really hard. And the stuff they're doing is very important. And I don't always agree with everything they do by any means, but props to you for being willing to do that and to fill that role because it's very important in our line of work. It really is.
Oh, there's definitely days where you feel like, I wish somebody would run against me so that I could not do this anymore.
You can have it.
Please. Well, I do not want to be
when baby number two comes, you might be withdrawing.
I know, right? Yeah, there's days.
What's that line? What's that line I've seen that said the two things firemen are hate are change and the way things are or something like that? I mean, like, you can't get a worse group of guys to like try to like agree on anything, whether it be coffee or the correct cleaning product. You know what I mean? There's no way you can get them to collectively think of one thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, man. You get the group of guys around the table in the morning that's like, someone needs to step up and do this. And then you step up and do it. And it's like, what are you doing? You're an idiot.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. Exactly. I love it.
Yeah. You should. I mean, our station's been around since the 50s, but if somebody moves the forks to a different drawer, like World War III is on. You know,
texts start going out. Where are the forks?
What are you doing? We've had those forks in those drawers for 70 years.
Yeah. Oh, my partner on the truck, he's a senior fireman on the department. I love working with him because I just want to, you know, learn as much as I can from him. I just bit over to the truck at Station 54, about 6 months ago now. But he loves things his way. And maybe like, you know, like, you're not going to always have the perfect set of plates in the fire station. And sometimes if the thin ones get commingled with the thick ones, it might drive someone crazy. And then you get someone like me that loves to feed on that and put them there on purpose.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah. But
there have been so many wars in the fire station, subtle, silent wars, cold wars, if you will.
Yeah.
Maybe sponges covered in Fabuloso under people's beds that hate the smell of Fabuloso.
Yeah.
I'll say it right now. Fabuloso smells terrible.
It does.
I've been guilty of hiding the Fabuloso because we have gallons of Pine Sol right there. And like, I prefer Pine Sol personally. And so I'm going to be straight up and just tell you, I've hidden the Fabuloso. I haven't thrown it away, but I've definitely hidden it.
And it's so strong too.
Here we go.
Yeah, I know. Something what actually both Kevin and I have thrown away many times is the minced garlic in a jar.
There's nothing worse than the...
When it's stove and reefer day, dude, we'll just throw that right... Oh, it's had a couple spoonfuls taken out of it straight into the trash.
Yeah.
That stuff is poison. poison.
If you guys are not familiar, Costco sells a gallon jar of minced garlic, and firemen will put that in their coffee, on their eggs, on toast. There's not a thing that they do not put that in, and it goes by the tablespoon, and like 6 tablespoons per thing is minimum. And so Noel and I have had enough with the minced garlic. If you want to get your own garlic, you got to get a clove and cut it up.
Do the fresh garlic. Don't be lazy.
Well, you know, once I learned the, you guys ever do the trick to peel that garlic where you put it in 2 bowls and shake it? You ever seen that trick?
I have seen it. I have not done it.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Mind blown. Especially if you can get 2 like stainless steel bottle or bowls. Mm. You literally like take your clove, separate the different cloves, right? Put it in that bowl and you shake it. The sound is awful, so don't do it when you don't want to interrupt something. But I'm not kidding you. You take that second bowl off and all the skins are shedded. It's magic. Once I learned that trick, I'm like, I'm buying fresh garlic from now on.
No more minced garlic. It's not necessary.
I kind of feel like this should be a Target Solutions training video from a PIO from Ventura County. I think like this should come out.
Don't tempt me. I'll do it and I'll send it your way.
You make that video and Kevin and I'll make the video on how to throw away the minced garlic, and we'll combine the two and we'll just educate everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Noel and I are in a weird spot because we're the 2 firemen on the truck on our shift. And I kind of feel like now that we're talking out loud, like we're those weirdos. They're like, what are you talking about? The thin plates don't go over there. Like we're totally institutionalized. Like yeah, I'll just say it.
I come in the morning and all of our workout equipment is on the app floor lined up against the wall because it's all outside CrossFit stuff. And I notice immediately, who moved my kettlebell? I know they didn't use it. Where is it? Why is it over in the rack with the dumbbells inside? That's not where it goes, and I immediately have to move it back. I love you guys. It's okay. You can move the kettlebell. But I notice. Don't think I don't notice.
I'm the guy that brought all that stuff in, and I'm the train wreck that it's never organized, so it winds up outside. And then I got to take the hint, got to organize my stuff.
Yeah, take the hint. When they start moving your stuff into the back shed, that's when you know, oh, I should probably take this stuff home.
When things start lining up in front of my truck, take the hint.
Pretty subtle. It's subtle.
I don't know what it is. I'm definitely the pig pen of the shift or whatever, because I'm there for 24 or 48 hours. And if you look, like there's just this yard sale of stuff like in my locker area or in the rig or on. I'm just a yard sale. So I'm sure I drive people nuts because I'm like, I'm here for one day and my stuff's everywhere.
Yeah, like once a quarter, I clean out my locker and everyone has to walk by my bunk and, bro, what are you okay? Like, yeah, what's up? Like, what'd you do? I'm like, I'm just cleaning my locker out, man. And it's just, it's purge day.
Dude, it's always amazing how much stuff you can throw away from the inside of your locker. Like, what is this? Why do I have this stuff?
Yeah.
Why did I put this in here?
A Christmas card from 3 years ago.
Yeah, there's always a full trash can. It doesn't matter how often you clean it.
Yeah.
7 keychains from people that are selling insurance to you. You're like, why do I have this?
Swag I got from the PIO class.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, I mean, this has been super fun. You got the world ahead of you. I'm so glad we reconnected. But tell us where we can find your show.
So we're on Spotify now. I'm having some difficulty getting it on the Apple Play Store. But right now on Spotify, Shift Change Podcast, and then Shift Change. I wanted, everyone was like, go Kitchen Table, man. And I'm like, well, everyone calls theirs Kitchen Table. but same thing, shiftchange.podcast on Instagram, is where you can follow us there. It's super fresh and we're still kind of getting things going, but, we do have an Instagram, and then, Spotify or, you know, release everything on Buzzsprout. We do the video is not public yet. Kind of figuring out the right avenue to go there because, you know, algorithms and copyright infringement. I got to just be careful of. That's why I had to get our own music written. But, it should be on YouTube here in the near future for the video version. But as of now, Shift Change Podcast on Spotify, which I noticed there's a lot of Shift Change podcasts that don't have to do with fire. But
I guess other people have shift changes, which is weird.
Yeah,
I was original. Shift work. There's that country song. Well, you said to us, like I think it was a while ago, we're like, your goofy little brother, and it's hilarious. You guys are hilarious. So if go follow them, because they like, we didn't get a good job of like showing your comedic efforts here, but you're hilarious and the guys are great and you're super witty. And if you're not in the fire service, I still think you'll get a lot out of it because they give a lot of cool content.
We have a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Go check it out. We will link all that stuff in the show notes so it's easy for you to find.
Awesome, buddy. Well, we thank you for your time, D, and we God bless you, baby number two in July. Can't wait to see some pictures, and you got to say hello to our neighbors to the north, the Ventura County boys. They got some great guys up there, and you know, hopefully we'll see you on some brush somewhere. Actually, no, never mind. We're truck firemen. All three of us. We're not going on brush. Yeah, never mind. We'll see you somewhere else. And on, we'll see you on TV on Channel 5.
As yeah. I hope not.
Awesome. This has been the Fire You Carry podcast.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure you go and follow Kevin's personal Instagram account. You can also follow mine. Links to those are in the show notes. We do still have merchandise available. We do still have a Buy Me a Coffee account if you want to support the podcast financially. And very, very soon, we will have official dates available for the next Fire Up program. It will be in May, but we will have official dates out very soon, so pay attention to that. Make sure you follow the link in the show notes and get on the wait list so we can see you out there. And until then, we'll see you next week.